You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Time for your view from the C-suite here on Classic Business, bringing you closer to the business leaders around the boardroom table and what makes him tick, what keeps him up at night and gets him out of bed every morning and drives him to excel through such trying times. Well, my next guest has retail in his blood. Rack 'em high, sell 'em low, 3 for 2, the clicks way. CEO Vikesh Ramsunder, welcome to The View.
Thank you, Michael.
Now, from what I can tell, doing a bit of digging, clicks was almost your first job. Where did you grow up?
It's my first job, and I actually joined the business in 1993. I started in a store called Clicks Chatswood. It's a township that I was born in KZN, and I started there as a cashier. And I've worked for the company ever since for the last 27 years.
A remarkable story that you find very little of in today's environment, where people bounce around from job to job and even change careers along the way. Was business in the family blood? How did that happen?
No, it certainly wasn't in the family blood. I finished school and looked for an opportunity to kind of try and get into the employment market, being a young man then, you took what you could get. And I joined Clicks as a cashier, working on the weekends. And ever since then, kind of the business has been, I would say in my blood. And the thing for me is that as you work through different roles in the organization, as I was promoted, I felt I learned stuff and never had a need to leave the organization. So it's been quite a wonderful and exciting journey, actually, the 27 years.
27 years all the way up to the CEO's corner office. Is there a corner office? What is the HQ structure like at Clicks?
Well, it's certainly a corner office, but it's not on the top floor. It's on the first floor. So don't give.
It's a great example, I think, of what your predecessor, David Neil, often spoke to in his sort of understated, matter-of-fact way. And you succeeded him a couple of years ago now. You've had your hand on the tiller. Before assuming David Neil's role, though, as CEO, you were COO, and before that, MD of UPD, which was the group's pharmaceutical wholesaler from around 2010. And you really were quite instrumental in driving UPD's integrated pharmaceutical wholesale and distribution strategy. And the business provides the distribution capability for the group's integrated channel to the healthcare markets. Are very important. What part of the strategy did you drive while MD?
You know, the issue is when I went to UPD in 2010, it was basically a wholesale business. It was a business that provided wholesale services to the market. But as growth started to slow in the South African economy and as Clicks started to accelerate growth into pharmacy, it became obvious that we needed, further growth in different ways. And so what I helped do there was build what we call the primary distribution business. Because if you have a business like UPD has fixed cost infrastructure, so what really makes it work financially is to put in more volume through it. And kind of in the 4 or 5 years that I was there, we were able to triple the volume that went through UPD, which made it quite a successful business. And it remains actually quite an important business for us currently and does very well for the group.
It gives you those economies of scale and that vertical integration. Your strategy to corporatize the independent pharmacy market over the past 10 years as a group has really been a standout success story. And it hasn't gone unnoticed by foreign investors, who are among the biggest shareholders behind the likes of the PIC and have been for several years. There is marginal growth, though, in a sluggish economic environment in South Africa. And I think it's growth that's becoming more expensive to come by. If you look at the moderate decline in return on assets over the last while, when you speak to foreign investors, though, and it is a Clicks phenomenon, the foreigners do love Clicks. What makes him so much more bullish compared to perhaps some local investors?
I think the local investors, when they're looking at shares, they look for value. Well, I would say to you that the investors that we, in the international markets that I engage with, take a long-term view. They understand the kind of drugstore model. And then when they look at Clicks in South Africa, they get the picture. You know, if you consider that actually corporate pharmacy has already been around in South Africa for about 17 years, so it's relatively new to the local shareholding analysts and investors. And the international guys have been doing this for years, so they fully understand the integrated drugstore model. So that's why I think they get the Clicks story, they buy into it. At the same time, when I'm talking to our shareholders, if you look at the pharmacy market in South Africa today, 46% of that market still sits with independent pharmacy. Not everyone seems to realize that. You know, they think the corporates have come along and wiped out independent pharmacy. That's actually not true. The bulk of market share today actually sits with independent pharmacies, and Clicks has about 24, just under 25% of that. So there's still runway for growth in the pharmacy market. And if you consider the fact that the baby share and the personal care categories, Clicks is under 20% of those markets. And those markets are in excess of 30 billion rand in South Africa. So although the markets may not be growing, there still is significant opportunity for Clicks to continue to take share within these categories, which offers the long-term growth potential. And once again, you know, there's about just under a million babies born in South Africa every single year, because we have quite a young population. And the fastest growing segment of the market is the plus 60s, and Clicks plays in both those markets, the young as well as the aging category.
Yes, and probably one of the most loved loyalty programs as well, which we'll come to. My partner wouldn't let me hear the end of it if I don't talk to you about your famous 3-for-2 deals and promotions and how you actually do that. Now, Vikesh, we're speaking here about the market and the independent pharmacy market. There was a very interesting court battle concluded a couple of weeks ago. Interesting, certainly, if you're an independent pharmacy, and perhaps not so interesting if you're Clicks because you lost. You are appealing, but at issue was your ownership of Unicorn Pharmaceuticals, and that imports and repackages drugs as Clicks generics. The Independent Community Pharmacy Association argued that your ownership of the business was not correct in law, and that pharmacies are forbidden from owning drug manufacturing concerns, thus disabling them from selling only their product rather than that of other suppliers. Now, you've made the case that the arrangement has helped reduce your supply chain costs, and an argument you're now hoping will receive, I think, a more sympathetic hearing on appeal. Why do you think this appeal will find favor?
I mean, it's such a small part of our business, Michael. So the most important thing is actually that we've received an opinion from a very senior advocate in the country that says that our structure is appropriate and legal. So that's exactly why we would own Unicorn within the group. So that's an important piece. Of course, the judge didn't agree with that, and the case is obviously not concluded. We'll appeal this, and we need a full bench to really hear our argument in this regard. But the key that you have to think about here, there is actually no public or patient impact, because the products that we sell are generic medicines, equivalent to other generic medicines, manufactured on our behalf by generic manufacturers, whose products we also sell. Now, these products are within reference pricing. They are registered by SAHPRA. And within regulations in South Africa, you know, the Department of Health also sets these prices. So you're not getting a price advantage because government regulates that. Quality is actually, there's quality oversight because it's a registered product. And the biggest, because we charge the lowest dispensing fee in the country, the beneficiary is actually the patient. Quite frankly, I don't understand the rationale. I mean, this is a competition point. You know, the independents would love us not to exist, quite frankly. So they could charge, consumers what they wished. And that's why we believe we should continue to fight this, because it's actually for the consumer's benefit, rather than, any harm to them moving forward.
And private label, obviously, is big business for Clicks as well. I think you get bigger margins and obviously, as you pointed out, economy of scale benefits when distributing the drugs.
100%. You know, my strategy is to have a pharmacy in every single Clicks store. Now, there are a significant amount of stores that are opened in lower LSM areas. I mean, there's probably not a single large township in South Africa where you now won't find a Clicks store, and we're trying to open pharmacies in those stores. So we don't take a view that says we will only open up pharmacies where there is money to be generated. Our view is that we should provide access to good quality, value healthcare to the citizens of the country. So you do need economies of scale and margin to actually cross-subsidize pharmacies that, quite frankly, may not make money for a decade, but at least you are bringing value healthcare to consumers in all parts of South Africa. And that is why Unicorn is important for us. It's not about how much money we can generate. It actually means that we can make pharmacy far more accessible to the citizens of this country.
And in a country where access to healthcare and affordable medicine is a key public imperative, it's hard to see how that argument wouldn't find favour, certainly with regulators at the moment. Now, you must have one of the most successful customer engagement programs, as I said earlier. I think how many club card members do you have now? 8-9 million. It's a loyalty program that accounts for nearly 3/4 of sales and clicks. How critical has this strategy been to driving private label sales and the success of the Clicks group overall?
I mean, the club card to us is very, very important. I mean, as you can understand, loyalty drives repeat purchases by consumers and frequency. The key for us is we haven't interfered with the product for almost 25 years. So the Clicks club card will be 25 years old in August this year. It was the first loyalty program launched in South Africa. And we haven't interfered with it because why people love the club card, quite frankly, it's the richest program in the country. You can get up to 4% back on your purchases. The cashback is built up with our partners as well. You know, if you went to Engen or Sorbet, as an example, Musica, you would earn additional points in cash and cashback. And what's key is the fact that it's so simple to use. You just swipe your card, you get your points, you know, and you get your cashback. You don't have to jump through a whole lot of hoops and can't figure out where you find yourself. So we've tried to make the program simple. You've been rewarded for shopping within our environment. And really what we're hoping for, that you stay with us as a loyal customer, and we both benefit in our relationship over the long term.
And also one gets a sense, respectful of the data that you're collecting on your customers. There are some other loyalty programs where you just feel that your information is now being impinged upon in an uncomfortable kind of way. What is the data that you collect via this club card membership telling you about the health of your consumers that you serve?
There's no doubt that we can see that our consumers are under pressure. But this is not new, Michael. This has been going on for a decade, quite frankly. You know, you've seen customers trade down. The loyalty program has continued to grow every single year because customers find value in it. You know, value in the way we communicate, a value in terms of reduced prices, etc. So the loyalty program isn't just a club which we use to collect your data and then send you promotions. We want to make sure that consumers find real tangible value in it in their everyday lives. And that's really what drives us. So the way we use the data, quite frankly, we don't use it at the moment in an individual way. We use it into segments. We kind of have 7 to 8 segments. And then we try to talk to customers, you know, in that way. But if you download our app, where our club card is now virtual, which makes sense. We're trying to get rid of plastic. There, it becomes engaging in a far more personal way because in that way, we understand what you are really looking for. There may be personalized promotions for you, etc. And that is how we will evolve the data into the future. But we do not sell the data on, you know, to manufacturers or suppliers. The data is valuable to us so that we know you in a far more personal way, so that we can engage with you in what you want to hear from us rather than just engaging with you in a broad, general way. And that's really where the value for the data is to us. We also, I have to say to you, do not look at pharmacy data. I've taken a view of that. We've taken a view of that as a group. We do not look at pharmacy data. We think that's quite personal. We don't touch it. We do not analyze it. We do not use it into any of our segmentation.
That is good to hear because I think that does then sail very close to some very important principles and ethical lines there. Speaking of pharmacy data, we're in the midst of this pandemic now, Vikesh, and we were chatting just off air earlier about the fact that the major storm really lies ahead of us. And as we exit the lockdown, there's a lot of damage to the economy. We need to get businesses going again. We need to ensure that consumers are gainfully employed and we need to get the economy going. But we run the very real risk of the pandemic spiraling out of control. How do you view the way we've responded? We had one of the strictest lockdowns in the world. It's brought us some time. There has been some criticism of the way the regulations were handled. Overall, what are your thoughts on how government has handled this pandemic?
To be frank, I wouldn't have wanted to be in Ramaphosa's place because it's a damned if you do and damned if you don't, you know, outcome. So I do think that our response was quick, it was careful, and it was cautious. Maybe at the moment the lockdown feels like it's a bit too long because, you know, livelihoods are being significantly impacted currently, but it's an extremely tough trade-off. Ultimately, we have to go down to personal responsibility, right? Because you can avoid the virus by making sure that we are keeping our social distancing, using our masks, and sanitizing. As you know, a government can't stop us from or control the spread of the virus. It's actually us citizens of the country who can reduce that impact. So I think we do have to take the onus upon ourselves to try and limit the spread of the virus and actually take it seriously. I'm not sure everyone takes it as seriously as they should, because this is very deadly. This virus is very, very, very deadly. And if you look at the loss of life and the exponential growth, quite frankly, of the infections, it's very important that we don't take it lightly. And we manage this for months and years to come, because I can't see it going away, you know, in the short term. It may slow down. But certainly we've got to treat this as part of our daily lives now and be very cautious in the way we engage and follow the protocols required. And I mean, that would be the key message for me, really.
Speaking of messages, it's Youth Month. This week we had just an indication and a reminder of the enormous challenge of youth unemployment in particular. What's the one thing you would go back and tell your younger self as a message this Youth Month that you think would have equipped you on your journey all the way to the top of corporate South Africa?
There's a few things I think that has been very important to me. The one is about being patient. You know, we also have graduates that come into our organization today, and the desire to rise to the top of the organization needs to be tempered a little bit. So I think it's about understanding that you benefit, quite frankly, over the long term. I mean, it's like investing money. If you stay invested, if you invest in yourself and you're patient, you will benefit over the long term. So it's about being patient. The other important thing is actually don't chase the money. You know, if you invest in yourself and you are competent and capable and you're always learning, the money will follow. Because I think today what tends to happen to meet our daily needs, we're concerned about, you know, what we get paid, etc. I think for me, the key thing was to invest in myself. I studied while I was working. I finished a few degrees, including my master's. And obviously, as you rise to an organization, the financial benefits then follow. So for me, it's about being patient, always learning. And I guess for young people, listen, you know, I've got three kids as well. And you know, all the testosterone in my home, etc. So just listen, you know, listen. The older guys do know a little bit more. They've seen it, you know.
That was Vikesh Ramsunder, Click CEO, sharing his view from the C-suite on the first floor. And that's a wrap for this week. Thanks to producer Andres Mahlangu and sound engineer Mataba Taba Rodebe. The Jazz Lounge with Rod Miller up next in Cape Town. And in Gauteng, you've got The Full Works with Richard Koch till 9. Good night.